I was wondering if our pastor could regale us with one of his favorites when we see Christ.
Are we being saved?
Yeah.
Are you okay with that? Yeah, I'm fine. Okay.
Thank you.
Come on up if you like. What is the number?
15. Yeah. Let's get some.
What one are we looking for?
When we see Christ.
216.
Jason.
Banner. All right, we're going to look at the book of Ruth tonight. Ruth, well, you're going to say, where is the book of Ruth? Well, it's after the book of Judges. Joshua, Judges, Ruth. And we're going to be in chapter 2 tonight. We're going to be in chapter 2. Ruth, what a story. A woman named Naomi and her husband Elimelech were living in the land of Israel. And there was a famine in the land, and they left Israel and went all down south to the land of Moab. And they took their two boys with them, Mahlon and Chilion. And they left the land of promise to go to a Gentile land. And that's not something they should have done. Now, I know there was a famine in the land and there was difficulty there, but they should have just trusted the Lord to take care of them. But they didn't. They went down there and their two sons married two Gentile girls down there in Moab. One was named Ruth, the other was Orpah. And in time, Naomi's husband passed away in the strange land. So she became a widow. The two sons also passed away without having children with these two, Ruth and Orpah. And so we have three women left alone, Naomi, Ruth, and Orpah. Well, news came to Naomi that there was bread in the land once again, and God had blessed the land. And she intended to go back to the promised land, we could say. All this, by the way, taking place long before Jesus was ever born. This is in your Old Testament time. And it was even before King David was born. Even before the prophets like Isaiah and Jeremiah were born. Long time ago. And so Naomi said, I'm going to go back to the land. I see the Lord is blessing there. I'm going to go back. The two daughters-in-law, you could call them, decided to go with her. And she tried to discourage them from going with her. And the one daughter, Orpah, returned back to Moab. But Ruth said, I'm going with you. And the beautiful words are, entreat me not to leave thee, or to return from following after thee. For whither thou goest, I will go. Where thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God, my God. Now, that's something really wonderful for a Gentile woman to say, that she would go for the God of Israel, Naomi's God. Verse 17, where thou diest will I die, and there will I be buried. The Lord do so to me and more also, if aught but death part thee and me. So back to the land they went. Who? Naomi and her daughter-in-law Ruth, for whom the book is written. And back they went to the promised land. And Ruth decided to go out and work in the fields and provide some food for her and Naomi. And she went out, as many of the people and a lot of the women would do in those days. They would follow the reapers in the field, and anything that kind of fell off the wagons or whatever, they would pick up and take home and feed themselves. That's how many of the poor took care of themselves in those days. Well, interestingly enough, her hap, or her chance, you could say, was to fall upon the field which was owned by Boaz. And as it's going to turn out, we're going to find out that Boaz is a relative of Naomi. Now, there's something else you need to keep in mind. In the Old Testament times, in the nation of Israel especially, if you married and your husband died, it was the responsibility of someone else in the family to raise up seed unto your name. So, as of course the two boys died without having children, it was a concern to both Naomi and for Ruth as well. And so she happens to fall on the field to do some reaping there and gleaning in the field. And it was someone who was a near kinsman to them. Someone who was very rich. someone who could help them out. But they didn't even know that. At this point, Ruth didn't know that she was in the field of a relative of Naomi's. And Naomi didn't know it yet either. But Boaz saw her and was interested in her. If you remember last week, he was interested in her. He saw in her a godly woman, or a woman who was virtuous. And I believe he was seeking her for himself. But what he does is she treats her very kindly as she's gleaning in the field. And here we're going to pick up in verse 10 of chapter 2. Then she fell on her face and bowed herself to the ground and said unto him, that would be Boaz, why have I found grace in thine eyes that thou shouldest take knowledge of me, seeing I am a stranger? And Boaz answered and said unto her, it hath fully been showed me all that thou hast done unto thy mother-in-law since the death of thine husband, and how thou hast left thy father and thy mother in the land of thy nativity, and art come unto a people which thou knowest not heretofore. The Lord recompense thy work, and a full reward be given thee of the Lord God of Israel, under whose wings thou art come to trust. That's an interesting word there. Under whose wings thou art come to trust. Later on in the book, and many of you hopefully already know how the book ends and everything, she is going to lay herself down at Boaz's feet and request for him to put his skirt over her. Kind of like a way of saying, I'd like you to take care of me. All right. And when it says thy skirt over her, is it really the same word as under whose wings thou hast trusted? Very interesting that should develop as you go through this book. All right. Well, in verse 13, this is where we want to pick up here tonight. Then she said, let me find favor in thy sight, my Lord, for that thou hast comforted me, and for that thou hast spoken friendly unto thine handmaid, though I be not like unto one of thine handmaidens. Here we see Ruth's thankfulness to Boaz for just acknowledging her and taking care of her and speaking kindly to her. You know something, that's how we ought to be with the lost. We need to present to them Jesus Christ, speak kindly to them, and let them know that God cares about them. Ruth here is a woman who's just kind of out there, doesn't really have anything, poor as can be. Her husband has passed away, no children, and in a strange land here, and she's thankful that this man takes note of her. And by the way, when was the last time you thanked the Lord even for saving your soul? You know, when you pray and talk to the Lord, if you're saved and you know the Lord is your personal Savior, you really ought to take time to say, thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Thank you for lifting me out of the miry clay, setting my feet on the solid rock, Christ Jesus, and giving me eternal life and the promise of heaven as my home someday. Boy, some of those songs we sung tonight talked about going to heaven and everything. Isn't it a wonderful thing? When was the last time you just took a time in your prayer, a section of your prayer, and just said, thank you, Lord, in as many ways you can. Thank you, Lord, for what you've done for me. All right, well, she's doing that. Verse 14 now. And Boaz said unto her, I'm going to read down through verse 17. And Boaz said unto her, at mealtime, come thou hither and eat of the bread, and dip thy morsel in the vinegar. And she sat beside the reapers, and he reached her parched corn, and she did eat, and was sufficed, and left. And when she was risen up to glean, listen to this. Boaz commanded his young men, saying, let her glean even among the sheaves and reproach her not. And let fall also some of the handfuls of purpose for her, and leave them that she may glean them and rebuke her not. So she gleaned in the field until even, and beat out that she had gleaned, and it was about an ephah of barley. Wow. The Boaz just taking care of Ruth. Ruth, a stranger, is accepted in Boaz. And you know, when you come to know Jesus Christ, I'm trying to compare this story with the New Testament. When you come to know Jesus Christ, You are accepted in the beloved, the book of Ephesians tells us. And here's this woman, Ruth, being taken care of by Boaz. And the servants are instructed, Boaz's servants, Boaz is rich, okay? He owns all these fields. And here's this young girl there in his field. He's taken a liking to her, and he's pouring out some blessings upon her. And the servants are told, give out handfuls of purpose for her. On purpose, drop some of the harvest right in her pathway so that it's very obvious. Just give her extra. And she gleaned that day and took in a ephah of, of barley. That's a whole day's worth of what a person needs to live on. And you can see Boaz taking care of her. And the servants of Boaz, we mentioned before how there must have been a great relationship between Boaz and his servants. Because they said good things to him and he said good things to them. And they obeyed him and did what he told them to do. You know what? We servants who have already been saved, and we know Boaz, or we know Jesus, okay? And we know him real well, and we know the gospel story. You know what we're supposed to do for people that are following us in the field, looking for help? Put out handfuls of purpose out there for them to grab a hold of. And what is that? How about the good news? How about a gospel tract, you know? How about a prayer for them that they would come to know the Lord as their Savior? How about a word spoken and say, hey, you know what? If you don't know where you're going when you die, you need my Jesus. You need to trust my Savior as your personal Savior. A witness. That's handfuls of purpose. Just throw them out of the wagon there and put them down there for someone to grab a hold of and take it. The job of Christians is to tell others of our great Savior. And it says that it was to be done for her. Look at verse 16. And let fall also some of the handfuls of purpose for her. Specially for her. Do you remember when you got saved? And you remember back, someone was giving you handfuls of purpose, most likely. Somebody was helping you come to Christ. And it was on purpose that they told you about the Lord Jesus Christ. That's a wonderful thing. And you know what? When you do that, at the end of the day, that person who's receiving it will be full. They'll be full. Salvation is great. And if they come to know the Lord as their personal Savior because you've been dropping out some handfuls on purpose, you know what? When it's all over, they'll be full. They'll have all that they need because all you need in Jesus Christ is everything. That's all you need. Well, verse 18. The story gets a little interesting here. Verse 18, I'm going to read right down to the end of the chapter. Follow along. And she took it up and went into the city, and her mother-in-law saw what she had gleaned. All right, Ruth comes in after the long day of gleaning in the field, and Naomi notices she did very well out there today. She brought forth and gave to her that she had reserved after she was sufficed. Verse 19. And her mother-in-law said unto her, where hast thou gleaned today? And where wroughtest thou? Blessed be he that did take knowledge of thee. And she showed her mother-in-law with whom she had wrought and said, the man's name with whom I wrought today is Boaz. And Naomi said unto her daughter-in-law, blessed be he of the Lord who hath not left off his kindness to the living and to the dead. There is reference to that where if someone dies without having a child to carry on the family name, to be the inheritor of the family's wealth and everything. Here Naomi is saying, look at that. It appears that God is taking care of us anyway. And blessed be he of the Lord who hath not left off his kindness to the living and to the dead. Continuing on. And Naomi said unto her, the man is near of kin unto us, one of our next kinsmen. And Ruth the Moabitess said, he said unto me also, thou shalt keep fast by my young men until they have ended all my harvest. She said to Naomi, he doesn't want me to go anywhere else but to stay right near where he is. Oh boy. Can you just imagine Naomi at this point, maybe getting filled with some hope from having lost her husband, two sons, now a glimmer of hope? Wow. All of us who know the Lord have more than just a glimmer of hope. We have all the hope there is. Blessed is the man whose hope is in the Lord, right? Verse 21, and Ruth the Moabite said, he said unto me also, thou shalt keep fast by my young men till they have ended all my harvest. Verse 22, and Naomi said unto Ruth, her daughter-in-law, it is good, my daughter, that thou go out with his maidens, that they meet thee not in any other field. Naomi says, Ruth, don't let anybody catch you anywhere else but in that field where Boaz is. Verse 23, so she kept fast by the maidens of Boaz to glean under the end of barley harvest and of wheat harvest and dwelt with her mother-in-law. Wow. Ruth here now is going to be restricted. Can't go anywhere else. You got to stay with Boaz. You know, the whole gospel message is a message of narrowness and restriction. You know, the way to destruction is broad and wide open. The way unto life is narrow, and few there be that find it. Ruth, you stay right in this field. Don't be found in any other field. Naomi's response here to all this now is, he is one of our next kinsmen. And he is the only one who could really help Naomi. A kinsman is the only one who can actually redeem your property back to you. Now, when they left the land with Elimelech and two sons, they gave up their land there. Their inheritance was in that land. God told all the Israelites, you stay in the land, I'll bless you here. Well, they left. And she lost everything. Her husband's gone. Sons are gone. There's really no hope to carry on the family name and the inheritance or anything like that. All hope was gone until this happened. And she finds Ruth, her daughter-in-law, in a field of kin, next of kin. Now, when we go a little bit further with this, we're going to find that there's another kinsman who's closer. And that's going to be a problem. They're going to have to get over that problem. And I'm not going to preach that yet, but I'm going to tell you, before you're saved, you have another kinsman who's closer than the Lord at that point. It's the devil. Okay? And he has to be overcome. And Jesus Christ is able to do that. Just like Boaz is able to do it even right here. And there's three things that have to be true about a kinsman redeemer. First of all, he has to be related to you. And Jesus is related to us. He came into this world, took upon himself the form of a man. So he can relate to us. He's a man just like we are. He needs to be able, number two. Don't we sing that song? He's able, he's able. I know he is able. I know my Lord is able to carry me through. Boaz was able. He was rich. he could do this. My Savior, Jesus Christ, owns everything. You know that? In fact, he made everything. And then the third thing is, he has to be willing. Don't you like that verse where it says, God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance? So my Redeemer is not willing that any perish. He's willing to redeem any who come unto him. So things are really starting to look good here for Naomi, all right, and Ruth. Ruth probably at this point is still maybe just not quite understanding everything, but Naomi's beginning to grab a hold of something here. God is doing a work in our midst. And she said, it is good that they meet thee not in any other field. There's a danger here when you get outside the master's field. God calls us unto a life of separation unto himself. You know that? You shouldn't be found in the world's fields. You need to be found in the master's fields. And don't be found anywhere else. And this was a command. And separation was needed on the part of Ruth. Ruth, don't be found anywhere else. Now, Ruth, a Gentile, is... And here's something else, and I'm not going to develop this any further tonight. I'm just going to tell you about it. Next time, I'm going to develop this a little bit further because I want you to see something here. Ruth is a Gentile, okay? Naomi is an Israelite, okay? Boaz, of course, is of Israel as well. Ruth, a Gentile, is just another one of God's ways to bring Israel to jealousy. Naomi, you have a daughter-in-law, Ruth, who is a Gentile, but she's being wooed by Boaz, a kinsman, able, rich, and willing. Might that not actually cause Naomi to be like, now, I don't mean that she's jealous of Ruth or anything in a, you know, a man and woman kind of a thing, but just, isn't this interesting that God, the God of Israel, is wooing this Gentile girl through Boaz, and will eventually be blessed in the land of Israel? Let's bring this up to today. And again, I'm not going to develop it, but I'm just going to whet your appetite a little bit here. Romans chapter 11, and by the way, if during the week you read this, you'll know where I'm going to go, all right, with this. Romans chapter 11 talks about how that Israel is spiritually right now to their Messiah. And God is calling out of the Gentiles a people for his name. Now, the Gentiles can't get too proud about that and say, oh, good, yeah, look, God gave up on Israel, and now he's only saving us Gentiles. God has a purpose behind it. And that is, through working and blessing Gentiles, he's trying to get Israel to be jealous and want the Lord Jesus Christ of Nazareth, their Messiah, to be who they trust in. So we'll develop this next time we get together, but read Romans 11, actually starting at verse 7 in Romans 11. Read it, and you'll see what I'm going after, all right? And it's a beautiful picture, I believe. Isn't it something how that a book written hundreds of years before Jesus was ever born, before he ever did his ministry on our earth, before he ever went to the cross, before he died, was buried, rose again, went back to heaven, here's this little story, just a few chapters long in the Bible, hundreds of years before, which you can see pictures of Jesus in there, pictures of the gospel, pictures of how God, through Christ, is trying to woo Israel back to himself. And while he does it, he's also winning a Gentile girl to himself named Ruth. Just, you know what? You all sitting here tonight, you represent Ruth, if you're a Gentile. Okay? If you can't say, well, I have a heritage to a Jewish heritage, you should be glad that God wooed a Gentile named Ruth many hundreds of years ago, because it tells me that the God of Israel is not only the God of Israel, but he's the God of any who put their faith and trust in him. And I'm one of them. And I'm glad for his grace that reached down and saved a Gentile man like myself. My mom says that she thinks there might be some Jewish heritage in our family, but I'm not going to rely on that for sure. I'm probably just nothing more than a hell-deserving Gentile who's been saved by the blood of a Jewish Messiah. Salvation is of the Jews. And one of these days, God's going to wake them up. And what a day it's going to be. That's going to be, of course, though, after the rapture of the church. But it's going to happen. Our Bibles tell us. All right. Well, there you go. I hope that was a blessing to you. We'll go a little bit further here. And we're going to talk about that, what it says in Romans, next time we get together. All right. It's been good. Good to be here. Good to have visitors with us. Jason, who's this? You know him. Who is he?
He's a friend of mine from about 12 years ago, I guess. We met at the motorcycle shop.
What's your name, sir?
Jim.
All right. Yep. Just call you Jim. All right. Jim, good to have you here tonight. And Paul, friend of Chris Mitchell's. And he was at the breakfast yesterday, and he said, "Pastor, I'm going to be here tomorrow night." And I said, "Okay." And there he is. So he's a man of his word. Good to have you here tonight. And good to see the rest of you, too. a little bit skinny here tonight. I think some were a little bit afraid of the weather and so forth. And so it's good to see all of you here. All right, let's go out of here. Let's do some handfuls on purpose, okay? Let's put something out there for people to glean. They need to hear the good news. And you have the best news there is, all right? And let's just do it in the master's field. The harvest is plenteous, plentiful, but the laborers are few. Let's be those few, at least few laborers out there handing out handfuls on purpose. Let's pray. Dear God, we thank you for the time spent together tonight. Good singing and good fellowship together. I pray you just help us as we go out of here not to stop serving you just because we're not in church. Let's serve you all the days of our life. Help us to hand out handfuls of purpose for the lost to see the greatness of our Savior. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.